Well, congregation and friends here gathered and listening with us in your homes and living rooms, it is a joy to be able to extend a warm welcome to you all again today here and at home. And as the weeks of our forced separation drag on, it is difficult not to feel discouraged. And so we are to remind ourselves of one who was locked down for almost 3 years from his ministry, the Apostle Paul, and who writes in that condition, "Rejoice always in the Lord." And I say again, rejoice. And why could Paul say that? Because the hand of God was in it and was upon him and us. And this is not out of the Lord's control. He has a good and lofty reason for it. So with that, may now I invite you to join us to stand in opening confession and in receiving the Lord's blessing. Our help is in thy name, O Lord, in thee who has made the heavens and the earth, who keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of thy own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ in the communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our opening Psalter this morning is Psalter 400, verses 1, 2, and 3. And that begins with Hallelujah, which means praise Jehovah. O my soul, Jehovah praise. I will sing the glorious praises of my God through all my days. So Psalter 400, verses 1, 2, and 3. Let us together now hear the law of the Lord God. And children, that law can be summarized very brief. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy neighbors as thou love thyself, Jesus said. So let us hear some of the details of that as we find that in Exodus chapter 20. And afterward, let us sing together with Psalter 123, the first verse. And that is a prayer, after we have heard the law, that the Lord may in mercy also redeem us. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Scripture reading this morning is from Proverbs chapter 8, and is a chapter in which you hear the word wisdom often speaking, children. And the word wisdom here is no one else but Jesus Christ. In this chapter, in the book of Proverbs, even in the Old Testament, we have one of the most beautiful speeches that the Lord Jesus Christ gives, long before he was born on earth. And so let's listen to this chapter for this morning's reading. As it begins, "Does not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths, and she crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest parts of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. So far the reading of the scripture this morning, and this is a chapter that you notice, children, is speaking to you mostly. It says, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children. So this morning, I am going to indeed preach a sermon for you, children, and for us as adults. We need it just as much. But I'm going to try to be as simple as I can be. And I'm glad to have at least a few children in the church this morning to look at, to remind me that we will together seek to speak to one another, or rather to listen to Jesus speaking. Let us now join our hearts together and seek the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, and gracious and eternal God, Thou art very special. As the God of the heavens and of the earth, as the Almighty Creator of all that is beautiful, pure, holy. And as we are gathered here this morning with each other, Lord, and we are together to remind each other and to be reminded by Thee that Thou hast also made us special. For Thou made us people, children and adults, to look like Thee. Each of us have been given that as we were created, as we came out of Thy hand, perfect, beautiful, sinless, able to love Thee with all of our hearts and minds, and able to love all other people. And not only able, but Lord, Adam and Eve, they did it until they broke everything that Thou had given them. And therefore, Lord, as we are here as their children, all of us, as children of Adam, wilt Thou then also open our eyes today, how special it is that Thou art speaking to us, as Thou already did when we read together Proverbs 8, and as we heard together the law of God. And Lord, Thou art treating us very special, not only because we are not sick, or we are not hungry, or cold, or fleeing our home, as so many other people. Thou hast taken care of us in these so outward ways, as we may have our moms and dads, most of us at least do, as we may have our home with our brothers and sisters, as we may have family or friends. Some of us indeed may be alone as they listen this morning. But Lord, also be with them and make them feel that they are not alone. But Lord, the most special thing that Thou art doing to us is that Thou art speaking to us. There are more people in our world today who do not ever hear the Bible read or preached. They have no Bible. They have no preacher to tell them about thee and about thy salvation. And Lord, help us therefore this morning to be amazed, to be humble, and to stand together in awe that thou again art willing to speak to us. For Lord, it is not the problem that thou dost not speak. The problem is that we don't hear. We don't listen. But make it this morning different. Lord Jesus, thou knows how to save boys and girls, men and women. Thou art the only one that can also do it. We can teach each other a lot of things. We can share beautiful things. But Lord, we cannot give each other or ourselves an ear for thee, an heart to love thee, a soul to diligently seek thee. And therefore, Lord, we pray this morning that thou would help us to see that we are even more undeserving than most other people in the world, because we have already so often ignored thee, even as children. We have already so often hurt thee by not listening and obeying. And thou art still willing to speak to us today. Again, please, Lord, touch our hearts this morning by that thought. And teach thou us, Lord Jesus, to see how special thou art. Teach us to hear the sweetness, the love, the goodness, the care in thy voice, also in this chapter that we have already read together. And Lord, without us knowing it, but thy Bible tells it to us, we are all blinded by the special things that we see in our world. And sadly, Lord, thou knows that oftentimes we think far more about these things that we find special than about thee and about thy word. And Lord, thou hast called that in thy word sin. And we must admit that we don't see that as sin. We may not even realize it. That when we think of other things more of thee, that then we hate thee. For that's what thou said this morning already. Bring it home in our hearts, Lord. May this morning become a day in which thou wilt give new hearts and new spirits in the minds and hearts of children, young people, older ones, yea, even the oldest that are listening with us today. Touch our hearts with thy hand, Lord Jesus, as thou touched the leper, or as thou touched that dead man laying on the bier and on the stretcher of Nain, and thou touched him. And thou said, arise, young man. Lord Jesus, wilt thou touch our children? Wilt thou touch us in the same way? And wilt thou speak the word with that same power? And may we see today that same miracle, that the dead will hear thy voice and rise. O gracious God, touch our eyes as thou touched the eyes of that man born blind. And he began to see. Or as thou commanded the man that was born lame to stand up, and thou gave him that strength. So, O great God, be pleased to reach forth thy hand today as the preachers go out through this nation to preach thy word. Pour thy spirit upon us and in us. And so we wait on thee. And dear Lord, thou knowest how difficult it is also for our children, especially to listen well as they sit in their living rooms at home. And we pray that it may soon be possible again and to gather in church together. And Lord, help us then to love going to church again. We have often taken it so for granted that we may go to church while we don't think of these blessings. Now we do. But then we also think, Lord, of the many Christians that have never been able to gather in peace and without the fear. And we ask that thou would graciously remember also all the persecuted Christians. They cannot listen to a message on the computer or on the phone. They are alone in their cell or in their camps or wherever they may be. Lord, send them a word today. Thou can send an angel to minister to them. Thou can send a preacher, a fellow prisoner, whatever it be, Lord, but let them hear thy word, be reminded of it, even in their minds, as they recall the scriptures they memorized. And so minister, Lord, we pray for the sick children, for the sick fathers and mothers, for the sick grandparents. Thou knowest, Lord, where there are families that are in deep grief. We pray for a family in Fond du Lac where suddenly, without any warning, the mother died throughout the night this week. We pray for those children and the husband who are suddenly facing this. And so there are so many, Lord, who are sad and grieved and their hearts torn. Strengthen them. We pray that thou would help all the ministers and elders and missionaries and evangelists. Help us to preach as thou did, Lord Jesus, in Jerusalem and in Galilee and in Samaria. Or as Paul preached and Peter preached, and so make us preach. And give us the wisdom, O God, and the Spirit in our heart to let thy word speak faithfully and simply. Give wisdom to our leaders, Lord, that they may make good and wise decisions as we face this new disease in our world. And Lord, thou must have a good reason for allowing this sickness to kill so many people and disrupting all of our lives and causing many of us to feel great loss. And teach us therefore, Lord, not only to want everything to come back to normal, but rather that everyone may learn to turn to Thee first. So hear us, merciful God. Even as we pray, we sin. As we sing, we sin. Lord, Thou graciously wash us, cleanse us from our sin, and help us now to listen and to speak to thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we sing with Psalter 1? And let's do all five verses. That man is blessed who, fearing God from sin, restrains his feet. Who will not stand with wicked men and who shuns the scorner's seat. Psalter 1, let's do all five verses together. If I would ask you, dear children, who wrote the book of Proverbs? That would be one of the Bible quiz questions this morning. Then you would probably say, Solomon wrote that. And your answer is right, and your answer is also wrong. Solomon did use the pen to write it. But it is Jesus who wrote the book of Proverbs, through using Solomon. And especially in this book, does the Lord Jesus speak to young people, to children. There's a lot of wisdom in this book. A lot of wisdom that would do us a lot of good if we would learn it early in our life. And there is so much in this book that you could read it over and over and over. Archibald Alexander was an old preacher many years ago. And he was asked once by one young man which book he should read from the Bible most often. And Archibald Alexander said, young man, read Proverbs and read it again and again. It's like an old head placed on young shoulders when you capture the book of Proverbs. Now in this chapter, chapter 8, you notice that oftentimes you see the word I. Who is this I? Well, that's clear it's not Solomon. Especially when you come to the middle of the chapter in verse 22. If you have your Bibles open, children, I would encourage you to do that for a moment. Well, you notice that this I said he was from everlasting. Now, Solomon wasn't from everlasting. He says before there was an ocean, and before there were the mountains, and before there were the stars in the universe, I was there. Notice he didn't say I was born. I was brought forth. A very special way that we cannot even understand God the Father brought forth the Son and the Spirit. Yeah? This is an little window that we receive in the Bible here about something that went on before even the world was created. And you notice that this I, which is Jesus, the Son of God, says in verse 30, and then I was with Him, who with God, this great God, I was with Him. And I was daily His delight as fathers and children, fathers and mothers and children rejoice in each other. So God the Father, God the Son, rejoiced in each other. And then He says in verse 31 that He also had another joy. The Son of God, He had joy in the habitable part of His earth. That means where the people live. Yeah, He says, my delights were with the sons of men who lived on this earth. Now that is amazing. Because He's sons of men, such as you and I, young or old, they're not quite so delightful. And yet God said, Jesus says, I had my delights with the sons of men. Now, children, in this chapter, and particularly when we come to verse 32, you notice Jesus speaks to you this morning. Now therefore, hear, ye children. Isn't that amazing? This Almighty God, the Son of God, before whom all the angels fall down, He stoops down to your and me today. And this Jesus, who created the world as the Son of God, speaks to you and me. Personally. As if He is standing on the pulpit this morning. That's how personal Jesus speaks when He says in verse 32, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children. Listen to me. Now when you read the word hearken in the Bible, you have to think as a Jewish boy or girl. The word hearken or listen in the Hebrew always means obey. Not just listen. You could be listening to the Lord this morning. You could listen the whole sermon from beginning to end. And you could be able to recite it if you're really smart. Or you could be able to answer every question about what you heard. But that's not yet what Jesus says we are to do. He says we are to obey. That's lots more than listen. And children, let us say, be clear in our mind this morning. God does not desire your misery. God does not desire your pain. God does not desire our disappointments and our loss. If He would desire that, then He would say nothing anymore. If God really desired that, He would not speak to us. He would just let us go. He would let us go without a warning. He would let us go without a plea. He would not say anything. Just let us go. Now, because God is speaking to you this morning, therefore you know He cares about you. Just as a father who pleads with you, as a father to a child, maybe you become a teenager and you're going to make some choices and he sees you going to make the wrong choices and he stands before you and he says, child, be wise now. Don't do this. Don't go that way. That's because your father loves you. That's how Jesus speaks this morning. Listen to me, children. Listen to me. Hear my instruction. Be wise. And refuse it not. Why does He speak like that? Because He cares about us. He cares about us. And He has been caring and speaking to you even before you knew. I was thinking of that this morning as I thought of that. Even before you knew where you existed. Boys, you were here. in the front of this church. Before you knew you were a child or a boy or a girl. And then God laid his hand on your forehead. And he mentioned your name connected to his name. Why? Mentioned your name. And Cyrus? God mentioned your name. Along with his own name. And mine too. And what does that mean? God said, I'm not only your creator, I not only made you as he made everyone. No, he says, I am also your Lord. Your Lord. That means I take you under my special care as God. Not everyone gets a special care. As I said this morning in prayer, there are more people who've never had the special care in this world that you and I have received since we were born. Yes, God is their creator and God is their provider. That's true for everyone. He makes the sun shine and the rain come down and gives food and drink and gladness to everyone. But he's only chosen a small group to whom he promised his very special care. He says, I promise to guide you and to teach you and to protect you and to provide for you, not only for this thing of this life, but also for the journey that goes on. And children, don't forget, it's not only old people that die in these days. It's not only very old and weak people that get coronavirus these days. Don't think, oh, it's not going to touch me. Don't think, I'm not going to die. I'm young. I'm healthy and strong. Never am sick. Don't think that. There's no guarantee that you and I will get old. And now the Lord says to us, and he said to us, I not only am your creator, I also am your Lord. Sadly, as many children don't listen to their parents, so there are even more children and adults that don't listen to their Lord. That's intensely saddening. They don't listen to God. They choose their own ways. They shrug their shoulders and they say to God, I don't want anything to do with thee, Lord. Let me have my own way and let me have my own ideas and let me have my own choices. God says in the early part of Proverbs 1, I have called you and you refused. I stretched out my hand and you did not regard. I've given you my counsel, and you would none of it. And there comes a day that you're going to be afraid. He says, and then I will not be there for you. Why not? Because when I called you, you ignored me. When I warned you, you shrugged your shoulder. When I pleaded with you, you rejected it. And therefore you will someday reap what you sow. Now what's the Lord saying to us this morning? Let's now look at our text that I want to draw your attention to in the last part of Proverbs 8. Shall we read it again? Children, please take your Bibles out for a moment. And let's listen to the voice of Jesus in Proverbs 8, verse 32 to 36. Now therefore, hearken, that means listen and obey, unto me, O ye children. For blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. There are three things that the Lord Jesus is saying to us this morning. The first thing that he says is, blessed are those children who seek to obey me daily. Let's look at that first. Blessed are those children who seek to obey me every day. You read two times the word blessed in this word of Jesus. Blessed means happy. Blessed means pleasure, beauty. Means great gift. We all like that idea, to have privilege and pleasure and to be gifted and to be happy, blessed. But what makes us blessed or what makes us happy? Well, if I would listen to you and you share with me what things would make you happy, maybe say, no school, that'll make me happy. Done with that. No school. Vacation, that makes me happy. Or lots of money. I can be like my neighbor who can buy all these things that they have. Then I'm happy. Or no time limits on the computer, as my mom and dad put on. Then I'm happy. Doing my own things. Having no more anybody to tell me anything like that, what I don't want to do. To be the best. To get my black belt or to have the greatest trophy and to be the best in sports and to everybody admire me. Then I will be happy. Well, then Jesus disagrees with you. Totally. And he's right. What does he say? Well, let's listen. Blessed are those children and, of course, adults who keep my ways. Blessed are those children and adults who watch daily at my gates. Look at verse 34. Who hears me, who watches daily at my gates, and who waits at the posts of my door. Those are blessed. The children and the adults who obey me, who live as I command you, who are people who walk honoring my law, loving God and loving others. They are blessed. Jesus says, they are blessed who live like me. Children, how did Jesus live? Did he give his mother Mary and Joseph a hard time? Did he fight the limits that they put on him? Did he talk back to them? Did Jesus argue and fight with his siblings as he grew up with them? No, he didn't. He honored the Lord. He loved God above all. And he loved his neighbor as ourselves. He honored his father and mother. And he honored and loved his brother and sisters, his half-brothers and sisters, of course. Huh? He lived humble. He did good. He served God. He did what God told him to do. He stayed away from the path of sin. He didn't lie. He didn't steal. He didn't fight. He was obedient and upright. That made Jesus extremely happy or blessed. And to prove to you that only when you obey God, you'll be happy. Let's think back for a moment on Adam and Eve as they walked into the Garden of Eden. Before Genesis 3. Walked in a beautiful garden. They were delighting in each other. They were eating and munching all the delicious fruit that hung on the trees. They were doing their work with pleasure, taking care of the garden. They were petting the animals that walked in the garden. They enjoyed every part and the best part of the day. It was in the cool of the day, morning and evening. And God walked into the garden. And God talked to them. They heard His voice somehow. And they communed. It's perfect. There was no fear. They weren't afraid of shadows. They weren't scared of animals. There are no arguments. There's no fighting. There's no pain. There's no sickness. There's no cemetery. No funeral homes. They were blessed. Beyond what we can imagine. Jesus is right. Blessed are they that keep His ways, that walk in His ways, that hear the instruction, that are wise. And so they lived. It was all perfect. And it all changed. All of a sudden it was all over. What happened? One thing. They didn't hearken to the voice of God, but they listened to the voice of Satan. They disobeyed God as they chose to walk in their own way, and everything changed. And dear friends, that same thing we are experiencing today. We are having pain. Some of you are sick. Some children that may be listening to us today lost their father or their mother when they were young, or have buried a brother or a sister. Some of you maybe are listening and who have a handicap. You're not quite so good body. We may not have quite such a good mind. Maybe you can't learn as well. Maybe you can't run as fast. Some of your children are experiencing pain. Maybe you feel lonely. Maybe there's a child listening to this morning who feels very hurt about being used or abused by someone bigger than you, doing things with your body they shouldn't be doing and not allowed to. Or maybe someone is telling you, as I was listening to this week to someone who said to me, she grew up all along hearing, "I wish you were a boy. I wish you were never born," by your own parent. Maybe someone of you listening to that in your life. How did it all come? Why did it happen? Where did it all come? That all came from the fact that we disobeyed God and walked out of the way of obedience, and therefore we suffer. Maybe you feel bullied by friends at school, or by your older brother or sister, or by older people. And maybe you think, once I grow up, then I am just going to be done with God, and I'm going to be done with all these things in the Bible, and I'm going to live my own life the way I like it now. And I can make one prediction to you. Child, if you do that, you'll get more pain and more sorrow than what you've ever had. Because it's contrary to what Jesus says. Blessed is the man who walketh in my ways. Blessed is the man who listens to what I say. Listen to what Jesus promises in this chapter. It's so beautiful. He says, blessed is the man that hears me, that sits daily watching at my gates and waiting at the post of my doors. Now, you have to explain that. I have to explain that for a moment. In the days that Solomon wrote this, they didn't have no Bible. You have a Bible in your bedroom. Maybe more than one in your house. But in Solomon's days, the only way you could hear God speak to you is when you went to the synagogue or to the temple, and the Levites would read the Bible to you, or would speak and explain to you what God is saying in the Bible. Not everybody had a Bible. So there's a man sitting, or a boy and a girl sitting at the post of the door. He's waiting and listening and straining his ears to try to listen to what that Levite is teaching him. That man, Jesus says, or that child is blessed. Children, God has made it a lot easier for you today. You don't have to come every day to this place to hear the Word of God. You don't have to strain yourself and sit outside. Like, I know that story, maybe you've read it too, of this little poor servant girl. You know, way back in many years ago, you had kind of levels in people's society, the rich people and the less rich and the lower. And then you had the very lowest of the servants. And guess what? These servants' girls were not allowed to come to church. They had to stay home while the family went to church. This little servant girl, she crept out of the house and she was sitting by the church window listening to the preacher. And before the preacher was done, and the people came out, she ran back to the house. And for weeks and months and years, that's how she would listen. You don't have to do that. It's coming right in your living room this morning. The Bible is right in your bedroom. God is speaking to you every time you open this Bible. He comes to you. You don't have to go very far. And he says, child, you will be blessed when you hear me, when you watch daily at my gates, when you wait at the post of my doors. I'm thinking of Mary, Jesus' special friend. She was sitting at Jesus' feet. Remember? Martha was working hard in the kitchen. Nothing could stop Mary from first sitting at the post of the door, listening to Jesus. Now, boys, girls and boys, are you making that same choice every day? You've learned to read? Are you reading every day in your Bible? That's a choice you can make. You cannot choose to change your heart. You cannot choose to change what you like. That's impossible. But you can make a choice daily to set the time aside to read the Bible. And I know opening the Bible and reading the Bible is not yet seeking God. If today you have some extra time, I'd like you to go back to chapter 2 in the book of Proverbs and read the first 12, 15 verses or so about how you are to seek God as a treasure, as silver. So as we read the Bible, just don't read it and close it. Ask yourself, what am I reading? Ask yourself, what are thou saying, Lord Jesus? Maybe say it's so hard, it's so difficult. I know it's hard and difficult. But there is a great God in heaven who can teach very simple through what you read. So please, notice what Jesus says earlier in this chapter, in verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And children, let me just say one more thing before we sing together. He said here, those that seek me early shall find me. Nowhere in the Bible does God say, just wait for me to find you. Just live your life until I find you. Just take it easy and enjoy yourself till I find you and convert you. Nowhere does Jesus speak like that, anywhere in the Bible. He says to you this, hear my instruction, be wise. Don't refuse it. Don't set it set next to you. Listen to me. Seek me, and ye shall find me. That's the first thing Jesus said. Let's sing together first of Psalter 228. And let us sing all three verses. Lord God of hosts and mercy, my supplication hear. And what follows, 228, 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, God, your sin, mercy.
We've listened to the first truth that Jesus speaks to us this morning. Now the second one is in verse 35, and it reminds us a little bit of what we heard earlier this month in John 20. But whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. What does that mean, favor? Favor of the Lord means friendship. The favor of the Lord means to be accepted, to be brought together with God. The favor of the Lord is a joyful thing. To have peace between God and us. That's the favor of the Lord, that He looks upon us and He's pleased with us. And you know, in this verse it says that is life. Whoso findeth me findeth life, and that life is that favor of the Lord. I do not know of anything more beautiful, children. And I'm sure that God's children with me here today would say the same thing. There is nothing more beautiful than to have peace with God. There's nothing more beautiful than to know that you are in favor with your Creator again, that you're restored in the relationship of peace. There's nothing more beautiful than when you come to the end of your life and you need to lay down your body, as it were, on a deathbed, to know that all is well. That when you part, I know of nothing more beautiful than to be at peace with God. If you may know that on earth already, you have the best of this world and the best of the world to come. For the life that Jesus speaks about of this favor doesn't begin after this stay on earth. But it begins already on this earth. And why will such have the best of both worlds? Friends, if you have God's favor, then God will never drop you, even though you fail Him. Saw Peter last week. How Peter failed Jesus, didn't he? But Jesus never failed Peter. The favor of God and the favor with God obtained through the Lord Jesus Christ is everlasting. Of course, every child of God fails God. Boys, do you ever fail your parents? Girls, you ever fail your parents? Of course you do. But do your parents then drop you because you failed them? Oh, no. No, they don't. You've stepped on their hearts before, and they will not fail you. That's a parent love. Now think of that, of God's love to His children. Even though they fail Him and step on His heart, He will not fail them. You see how special this is? He says, how can I obtain the favor of God? I'm a sinner. I fail God. I'm guilty. How can I ever have the favor of God? How can that be? Well, let me tell you something. If anybody else tells you ever that you can have the favor with God by being something or doing something, then don't listen. That's false. To obtain the favor of God is not by you being something special or by you doing something special. If anyone says that to you, he's a false teacher. No matter what religion he comes from, and even if he teaches the Bible, if he tells you in order to be in favor with God, you have to be a certain thing or you have to do a certain thing. That's not what Jesus says. Listen to what Jesus says. Whoso findeth me obtaineth favor with God. He didn't say, whoso is something important, or who something does something important, he will receive the favor with God. No, he says simply this, you find me, you will obtain favor with God. Not in yourselves. Now, I'm sure you have sung the hymn sometimes with your parents at home. Not the labor of my hands. Nothing in my hands I bring. You've heard that. Maybe you can sing it today as a family. We cannot obtain the favor with God by bringing something of ourselves, or with something that we have done, or something we've tried to be. Why is that? Because God writes over all that, reject. Why reject? Because it's not perfect. Because it's not sinless. Because it's not enough. Everything we try to do before God or to be before God will be rejected by God as the ground or as the means or as the way to obtain His favor, because the only way that we can obtain God's favor is by being perfectly obedient. Is God harsh? Is God demanding? No, that's not demanding. That's what God arranged in paradise with us. He made us perfect, He made us beautiful, He made us able to do. It was no chore for Adam and Eve to love God above all and to love their neighbor as themselves. They were given all the gifts and all the abilities and the willingness and the beauty. All of it was no difficulty in doing that. But as people, we as humans chose to completely destroy ourselves. And now God says, the only way you will be back in favor with me, if you keep my law perfectly, and you are a perfect person. And you and I can't be that way. It's impossible. Can you see the trouble we're in? Can you feel how lost we are? Do you realize how impossible it is for you and me to make our favor with God? To earn our acceptance with God? Don't need to. Listen to what Jesus says. Whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor with God. Jesus says, I am the door by which you can come to God. I am the way by which you can come before God. And I am the one in whom you can find again and obtain, notice the word obtain, receive the favor of the Lord, Jehovah, only through Jesus Christ. Now why can Jesus say this, friends? Because Jesus lived a perfect life. He lived his life perfectly and he died also in perfect obedience. He gave himself as a substitute for the people that his Father had given him. He was obedient. He was right and he did right. Now, if I read you back for a moment in verse 20 of this chapter, notice what Jesus said there. He says to us, I lead in the way of righteousness. The word righteousness means to be right and to do right. And children, we cannot be that way. But Jesus was the be right. He was sinless. And he was the do right. He obeyed his Father. He obeyed God. And therefore he rose from the grave. Therefore he was resurrected. By that God is telling us what he did is acceptable to me. Now do not think that Jesus is hard to find. It says in our text, whoso findeth me. It's not hard to find. He's not hard to find. You know what is hard? It's hard for us to seek Him diligently, not to give up. Sometimes Jesus waits He makes us wait at the door. He makes us knock at the door. He makes you read that Bible again and again. He may not right away discover or answer that. He has his wise reasons for that. But he's not hard to find. He's on every page of the Bible. He's here this morning. He's speaking to us. But you need to find him by seeking him. And do not ever think that you need to convince Jesus' heart as if he needs to be convinced to save you. Listen to him, friends. Hearken to me. Be wise. Refuse not. Oh, please, children, hearken unto me. It's like a father who pleads with you. And there comes a time, boys and girls, that your father will do that and says, child, be wise. Don't go this way. Yes, you have to make your own choices, but you're going to have to lay in that choice. You're going to have to live with it, but please don't make this choice. It's not a wise choice. And he pleads. You don't have to convince your father. Your father's trying to convince you. And soldiers of Jesus, seeking to convince our hearts. And he gives us one more warning before we leave this morning. The last verse. He said, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. I find that a troubling verse. But I need to speak it too. Because Jesus speaks it. This is his word. And what does Jesus say to us in this verse? He says, sin is not what you think it is. Children, adults, we think sin has some pleasure. We think it's sweet. There's some attraction in sin. That's how evil we are. We find some attraction in lying to save our skin, in stealing to get something that we want. We find it quite a pleasure to covet in our mind and to imagine what we can get or what we might be able to have what our neighbors have. We find that pleasurable. Boys, that's wrong, isn't it? Yeah, it is wrong. Sin is to disobey God's law, and it grieves God. Why does it grieve God? Now listen, God. Because he knows it hurts you. Listen to what he says. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. He didn't say, he that sinneth against me sins against me. He that sinneth against me grieves me, dishonors me. He that sins against me hurts me. No, he didn't say that. He says, he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. Jesus feels the pain that you inflict on yourself when you sin against him. You wrong your own soul. You harm yourself. You mar yourself. You break yourself worse. You make it worse. You kill yourself. Now, what sins is Jesus thinking about then? Well, of course he's thinking about lying. He hates lying, he says early in the chapter. He says, I hate this proud look. I hate the arrogancy. I hate this mouth that speaks wickedness. I hate it. He's talking about those sins. Sins that we do in being dishonorable to our parents. When he hears you speak bad to your parents. And Jesus frowns. When Jesus sees you being dishonest with your brother and sister, and Jesus frowns. But he also knows that you wrong your own soul. Yes, when you are teasing, when you are bullying, when you are sneaking on the computer, when you are cheating and doing all kinds of things, yes, you grieve him. Yes, you offend him. Yes, you wrong your own soul. You destroy yourself. But that's not the worst sin Jesus is thinking about. Children, what's the worst sin Jesus is thinking about? You think all these bad people that don't keep the Lord's Day, don't go to church or don't listen to church service this morning. Those are bad people. They do bad things. You're right. But the worst sin is sitting at home this morning or sitting in church this morning and not listen to Jesus. That's worse. That's worse than Jesus' words. When we despise His promises, when we ignore the calling on our forehead, in the Scriptures, when we shrug our shoulders and says, Lord, I want nothing to do with this. I want my own way. That's worse. When we reject Jesus' loving ministry, calling, instruction, that's the worst. Children, can I picture that before you? It's painful to your parents when they find you cheating. It hurts your parents when they see you being dishonest. It hurts them when they see you fighting with your brothers and sisters over nothing, just for selfishness. You want to be the king, and you want your way. That hurts her. That hurts parents. I know. I'm a parent, too. You know what hurts more? When you grow older, and you walk away from them. You forsake all their good counsel and your upbringing. Oh, it's not perfect, but they've loved you, they've taught you, they've prayed over you, they've laid awake over you. They've walked through your difficulties. They've gone with you through all your trials. And when you then grow up and you walk away from them and you ignore their counsel, that just totally breaks a parent's heart. That's what Jesus is saying this morning. He that sinneth against me, by not listening to my voice, not listening to my instruction, not listening to my love, which I call you, he hurts me the most. And yet that's not what he's saying in our text, right? He says, I'm not about my hurt, it's about your wrong. It's about you wronging your own soul. And notice that last phrase in our text. All they that hate me love death. Jesus calls hating him when you love yourself or anything more in this life than him. Yeah, I want to think, I will repeat that for a moment. Jesus calls hating him when I love someone else or love some things that I like more than him. Like I'm willing to lie about it because I want to have that. That is hating Jesus. I'm willing to break the rules because I want to go there. That's hating Jesus. I want to have my way because I like my way. That's hating Jesus. That's what he says. And now listen to the last statement. And if you hate me like that, you love death. That's what Jesus says. You love death? Who loves death out here? Death is ugly. Death is painful. Death is horrible. How can Jesus say that I love death when I hate him? Well, you have to understand what death means. Death means separation in the Bible. Yeah? When someone dies, he is taken away from us. He is separated from us. There's no more relationship. There's no more closeness, no more talking. That's what death means. And Jesus says, if you hate me, if you reject me, if you don't love me, if you don't believe me, if you don't listen to me, you love to be separated from your God. That's truth. We don't see it that way, do we? We don't think this through, don't we? But when we prefer our ways above His ways, and we prefer others above Him, and we don't listen to Him, we actually say to God, I don't really care about being separate from Thee, Lord. I want my way. Terrible. What a foolish wickedness this is. And oh, dear children and adults, we have heard Jesus' voice calling us this morning. You must read this chapter as if your personal name is written in there. In verse 4, this chapter begins with, "Unto you, O men, I call." You know, you could take the word "O men" out, and you could put your own name there. Wyatt, if you read this, you could say, "Unto you, Wyatt, I call." And Cyrus? And Emily? And Joanne? And all of our name. You could write it right there. "Unto you I call, and to me." So personal. Has Jesus spoken to us this morning through my mouth, through Solomon's mouth first, and now this morning through me? And I want you to listen one more time to Jesus as he speaks through his Holy Spirit. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 3, I think it is. "Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith," he's saying it right now. "If you, today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart, but turn you at my reproof." He's reproved us. He's pleaded with us. And then in verse 23 of chapter 1, I'll read it to you. He says, "Turn you at my reproof, people. Behold, I will pour my Spirit upon you, and I will make known to you my words." I'm thinking of a boy who wasn't able to do his math work very well. He wasn't very good with his hands either, could hardly hold a hammer. And all he did every day, he hold a broom and he swept the floor where his uncle was at work in the building business. He wasn't a very capable boy. But he was much wiser than many smart boys and girls are. And once he overslept and uncle was waiting outside, blew the horn on the car, he woke up. Oh, he looked at the clock. "It is 8 o'clock. I have to be on work." And he went to the window. And he opened the window. And he called, "Uncle, you have to wait. I first need to read and pray." And he closed the window. And uncle could wait. He wasn't bright, but he was blessed, like Jesus said. Amen. Let's pray. Thank thee, Lord Jesus, having spoken to us so plainly and so caring and so loving, instructing us. And Lord, we could feel in this passage thy heartbeat as a true father for his children would, in pain, pleading, so thou pleads with us. And Lord, more is needed, we know. And therefore we turn to thee at thy reproof, and we call upon thee. And may I ask thee to fulfill that promise to pour thy Spirit upon us. And gracious Lord, teach us daily to wait at the post of thy door, at the Scriptures, the open Bible. Daily, to make those choices, to let go of all that competes. Daily, to seek thee, Lord Jesus. For only when we find Thee and by faith learn to trust in Thee will we obtain favor with God. Bless these words. Forgive us our sins. Help us to see, Lord, how often we grieve Thee while we wrong our own soul. Help us to see that we hate Thee when we prefer our own ways. We pray this all in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Let's sing together Psalter 431. And that only is an echo of what we just read together here from Proverbs. And we'll sing the last four verses. Hear, my children, hear, saith the Lord who bore thee. Never serve nor fear gods of wood or stone. I am God alone. Worship and adore me. And what follows in the next three verses, so 3 to 6 of 431. We announce yet to the congregation that the Lord willing and we live, if there are no lawful objections given to the public confession of faith of Hadassah for Gunst, and the Lord willing, we will allow his consistory her to make this confession. And therefore, if there are any lawful objections from any of the members of our congregation, then you are requested to connect with one of the elders to deal with that. If there aren't, then next week, Sunday morning, the Lord willing and we live, she will be given the opportunity to make a public confession of faith here in our church gathering. Receive now the blessing of the Lord God, and let us go together in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.